The Magic of Driving with the Sun in Your Face. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today, the magic of driving with the sun in your face. This morning, I had the privilege of bright and early taking Chrissy and Sybil to the airport as they flew away from campus back to their London, Nigerian haunts. And as we drove, we left here at 5 o'clock, and it was beautiful. Weather was just ideal. The temperature was 70 degrees plus, and we drove down into San Diego. And there's virtually no traffic on the road, so we just drove along, you know, autopilot, cruise control, autopilot, and it was great. And we had a wonderful talk about philosophy. We talked about what it means to say, I am God. And in talking about it, we discussed the idea that when a person comes to the realization that they are God, they always knew they were, because they always knew they were number one. Everybody knows they were number one. But when they come to the realization that they're God, the creator of their world, how would I as God react under any given circumstances is the question that we all have to ask ourselves. So we talked about these things. And then they said that the books that we publish reach out to hundreds of people all over the world. And they are not only hundreds of people, but the people loan them to other people. And they read them. And then, in a conversation, they come up with the idea of, I am God. And they're not sure where they got that idea. But Sybil said, I know where. They got it from your book. In fact, your books teach that very strongly. And I said, that's good. Well, I let them off at the airport, and they were all set to hightail it out into the world. And they said, the next time we're going to be very happy is when we come back to visit again. And I said, that's very good. You're very welcome anytime. So I left them off, and I drove to the service station and filled up the tank with gas. Interesting seeing a car filled with gas, wouldn't it? So then I started home. It took an hour and a half to drive down there, and took another hour and a half to come home. Well, on the way home, there was less traffic than on the way there. And on the way there was virtually no traffic. But on the way home, everybody else was heading out. So it was 7:30, and I cruised along, or 6:30, whatever it was, 6:30, yeah. And I cruised along, and at that moment, the sun was starting to break over the mountains. The eastern sun, the morning sun, was coming up over the mountains. And fortunately, the mountains were blocking the sun from hitting me, so I could drive along very comfortably without it coming into my eyes. And I put on a little visor cap that I have, which helps to deflect much of it. But then the sun would change positions, and I'd have to change the visor cap. Dip, 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 you know. And so I started, instead of that, changing my hand. I put my hand up like this here and move it just to block the sun so it wouldn't come to me. And there were times that I couldn't see even the road. It was so brilliant, so bright, and I could not see the cars. And I had to make sure that I wasn't around any cars when I couldn't see them because I didn't want to say hello to any of them. And so, fortunately, I was able to block the sun in just the way so I could see the road comfortably. And I drove along and went along beautifully. Now, all the other drivers were having the same experience that I was. And they, too, perhaps did that, but I didn't look in their windows to see. I was only interested in me having perfect vision and making sure that I was in the right place. So I drove along, and then I drove up and down mountains, up and down, 4,000 feet up, 3,000, 1,000, 4,000, you know, and up and down over the mountains and over the hills. And it was quite a charming drive, really lovely, just setting it in cruise control and zipping along in perfect divine order. As I did this, I thought to myself, how often do we drive into the sun? How often do we let distractions in life take our attention away from what we really want to be thinking about? Now, what is it that you really want to be thinking about? What is it that is important to you in life? As I said, Chrissy and I and Sybil were talking about I am God, God I am, on the way to the airport. And then they would say, well, I gave a book to a friend, and then it said that here, and he was learning this, that I am God, and he was telling me that he already knew that, and so forth. And I said, that's wonderful. Sybil said, that's wonderful. And then, as we were talking, I said, Sybil, how would you say that I am God? And she said, well, I just say it right out, you know. And I said, do you ever have any distractions that keep you from saying it the way you'd like to say it? She said, no. And I said, why can you say no? She said, because when I am saying I am God, I am one-pointed. I know how important it is. I would say to her, like driving in the sun, you have to keep the sun blocked from your eyes so it doesn't distract you. Because if you allowed it, the sun could distract you and make you feel unstable, make you feel uncertain of what you're doing. And you have to be very careful that you don't do that, because then you drive into or off the road, and you can have problems. So we talked further, and we talked about the idea that everybody on earth knows that they're number one. Everybody knows that. Everybody really knows that they're God, because this is what they've all been taught all their life, but with limitation. They are the part of God that is not so good. The part of God that is good is outside of them. You know? See, we're taught to worship God outside of us, because that's where the real God is. The God inside of us is just sort of a pretend God or a pretend... No, that's not true, is it? It can't be. Wherever God is, all of God is present. So, if we're going to change our attention from the old idea that the all of God is outside, that we pray and worship and bless, and then we're in trouble. Well, how do we shift our attention from the old way, the old pathway, to the new pathway? How do we shift our attention from thinking of God outside of us to thinking of God inside of us? Well, I told Chrissy and Sybil, I said, each one of you is magic, as we all are. But each one of you is magic, and you don't know it. And the only reason you don't know it is you haven't kept track of it. Now, if you were to keep a journal, well, how do you keep a journal? I said, if you'd keep a journal, just buy one of these at the store and put the date on the top of the page as you start writing, and then write down what happened to you today. Write down what happened to you as you were talking to friends, as you were describing how you're God, and how they said, oh, no, don't give me that sort of nonsense. That's heretical and so forth like that. And then you talk on, and then quietly and peacefully, without trying to convince, you say, well, that's my belief. You know, that's my belief. I think to myself, how would I act if I were God? You know, and if I were God, how would I act on anything? And that makes me stop and think to do good things. Yeah, I guess that would. And you see, you're winning them over by your own self-analysis and self-conviction. You're not trying to convince them. You're just telling them why you think so. And as you do this, pretty soon, you've made a convert, so to speak, to the idea of I am God, which is a rather wonderful thing. Then, that's one person who was thinking that they were not God and is now thinking they're God. And isn't that a wonderful thing? My goodness. Then, you might have walked down the street and some little child were crying, and you looked at the child who was crying and said, I see you whole and perfect. And then you went your way. And people around you said, boy, she is a cold fish, you know, saying to the child, I see you whole and perfect, and then walking away, not paying any attention. Well, She saw the child whole and perfect. She lived in her God consciousness and saw perfection. She didn't see the illusion. And the illusion is what we all look at far too often. Now, what did she do? Did she see the truth? Or was she just too busy to bother with that child?
She saw the truth.
She saw the truth. Now, is that a magical thing?
Mm-hmm.
My. Now, keep on adding these little things. Just little things, little unimportant things, where you are untouched by the world about you, and you are listening to the divine within you. And I said, now, Seville and Christy, if you'll take a journal and put the date on top, and then write whatever comes to your mind. Now, don't think you're writing a book. Just think you're writing a report of the things that are your experiences during the day, which show you that you are having some very wonderful divine experiences. Then you'll find that that book fills up pretty fast. And just for the fun of it, page through it at random, and look at a page here and look at a page there, and see what you said, and you'll say, oh my goodness, I did a lot of great things. I did a lot of wonderful things, my goodness. And then do that year after year. And what happens? You are really good. Now, I think what shook me the most on our trip to town with Chrissy and Seville was that both of them said, you know, Herb, after hearing you say you want us to help you dispose of some of your books that you're not using anymore, I had to stop and think, why is he saying that? Why is he doing that? And she says, Jen, you know, I am going to take all of my old books that I used in my previous studies and dispose of them, because I cannot afford to give it to anybody and have them think about a God outside of them. And anything that talks about a God outside of you is not what I believe and is not what I teach. And she says, if I give them that book or any book as a reference to read, I am giving them a put down. I'm saying, I'm better than you are. I'm God, and you are just not even aware that you're God, you know. And so she says, I'm going to quickly and easily dispose of all the books, and she named a few. And I thought, my, you are courageous, because that's her background. Mm-hmm. Now, I did the same thing a number of times. When Pamela Wangler was visiting one time, I was just in the process of unloading all of the books that my mother had given me over the years that were not my philosophy anymore. And so I gave them to her. And she loved it. Oh, she thought they were so wonderful. And I didn't realize, but I was being very unkind. Mm-hmm. I was giving her my garbage. I no longer use cigarettes, and so I got rid of my cigarettes, my lighters, and I gave it to somebody else because they still smoked. Well, why should I contribute to a habit that they would like to end, and here all I do is give them my cigarettes that I'm no longer smoking? Now, isn't that silly? Isn't that terrible? And then you have a habit of drinking alcohol, and so you're drinking some scotch or something, and you say, would you like one? And that's not very nice. If the other person would like it, they can say they'd like it. But you don't endorse or encourage anyone to take on your old habits. If we give away books that teach God is outside of us, then we are endorsing the fact that God is outside of us. And we can't do that. We cannot do that. And we have to think of it in so many ways. Certainly any novels that we have that say that. Certainly any teachers that we have who say that. And there are many teachers who say that. Many teachers who historically have said that. Now, are you strong enough to dispose of books that are not what we teach?
Yes.
And are not of any interest? People come here to learn this philosophy. They do not come on campus to learn anything else. Now, we bring out our dictionaries so we can define words, But that's just part of our game of playing with words to know what they mean relative to our philosophy. Relative to saying, I am God, what do these words mean? And so we have our dictionaries, and we have our atlases because we travel the world, and it's nice to know which country is where, and what the people are that live there, because then when we go there, then we're ready to share with these people whatever we know. Now, otherwise, any book that does not endorse the fact that I am God, God I am, has to go. Edith Mary Sanderson gave me tons of books that she had when she was a child. And she was a Methodist, and she was from Minnesota. Her father was a Methodist minister, and she had attended many good organizational programs that were meaningful to her, but which are not who we are today. And so we are disposing of those books. Now, say, oh, we'd love to have them. No, we don't encourage you to smoke. We have quit smoking, so we're not going to give you our cigarettes away. We're going to throw in the fire. And like Sybil says, boy, when I get home, am I going to have a fire? She says, and I got to do that, because if I put them in the trash, somebody's going to come along and take them out. If I put them here or there, somebody's going to do it. She says, I've got to put them in a fire. I got to burn them. And she says, I'm not opposed to it. I'm not a book burner, but I just do not endorse them anymore. Uh-huh. I don't tell you what to have in your bookcase. I just tell you what I have in my bookcase. And I think, to me, that was a very wonderful drive in town to take the girls to the airport, because I flowed with their ideas, with their program, and I'm absolutely 100% harmonious with how they expressed it. And they had some new ideas. And I told him, get that journal going, and you will begin to realize how wonderful you are. Now, that's all that's necessary. It's all that's necessary, that you realize how wonderful you are. You're not outselling yourself to anybody else. Everybody knows how wonderful you are, because everybody sees you doing these wonderful things, and you don't even see it because you don't pay attention. It's so ordinary for you. It's so common for you, and you want to learn to be able to see these things and know these things about yourself, not that for any other reason than, yes, I am God. Yes, I am doing good. Yes. Do you think Jesus kept a journal? Mm-hmm. Do you think he had his scribes and his his staff to keep a record of what he was doing? No. What did they do?
Memorize. Memorize.
That's exactly it. All they did is to have it in memory, just to memorize it. And that's what the story is of what goes on mostly in the world. But most people, they don't realize that they're messiahs until someone starts cataloging all the things they're doing. They say, my goodness, I have been doing a lot of things. My goodness, yes. You know, but you don't realize it. So think on these things and have fun with these things, and remember that that's what life's all about. Yeah. Follow your principles. And when necessary, throw out the books which are the past. We're not going to burn our books. We're going to put them in the trash, but we're not going to burn them. We're just going to dispose of them. But we must do that. Because people who come here should have one purpose in mind, and that is to read this philosophy. Or else, don't come. Mm-hmm. So have a lovely day, and I will pack to travel away tomorrow. And I'm going to take Ellen along as my luggage carrier. And what is she going to do? She's going to take some gowns along, some evening dresses along, and she's going to go out to the parties at night, and I'll sit in the stateroom and just read.
play with the computer.
No, I'll probably go to the party too, because I think parties are fun. Now, this is the third day into our 34th year here on campus, or our 61st year on campus, which is pretty nice. So, you all have a good day, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.